I'm going to start somewhere that I had no plan of starting, but we're going to look at Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. Genesis 2:7 talks about how God created man. You know that God created man in His own image. God wanted a family of beings like Himself. But I like what it says here in Genesis 2:7. It says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." Guess what? You and I are lumps of clay. So I'm a lump of clay, and I'm talking to a bunch of lumps of clay, but there's something really amazing about these lumps of clay. God took great care when He formed man. Linda referred to, or somebody referred to the fact that we are His workmanship. So God formed man out of the dust of the ground, but then God did something really amazing. God breathed His life into man. And so we're born again. God breathed His life into us. The Bible says we are a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, old things are passed away, all things are become new. And so I guess my question for myself and for you is, how do we see ourselves? Who are we? Are we a person that has a certain age and we have a certain weight and we work a certain job and we have certain lumps and bumps and a certain amount of hair and wear certain kind of clothes and hang out with a certain crowd? Or are we created in God's image? How do you see yourself? Because that's what's going to affect how you will relate to the rest of the world. That's what's going to affect your ability to carry out the Great Commission. You guys have heard of the Great Commission, right?
Yes.
Jesus said we were to go. You know, first Jesus calls us to Himself. He says, "Come unto me, you that are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come unto me, take up your cross and follow me." So He is always calling us to Himself, but then He says, go. So Jesus is wanting us to come, but then He's wanting us to go. He calls us to Himself, but then He says, now go out. The good news is that we don't go out with no equipping. We don't go out as just a guy or a gal who's a certain age and lives a certain life and has all these limitations, because in Christ there is no limitation. Do you realize that? Has anyone, I'm going to ask for a show of hands here. Has anyone ever known that they were supposed to witness to a person and then gotten just strained and nervous and oh God, is this the right time? Is this the right opportunity? I'm shaking. I don't know all the Bible verses I'm supposed to know. Have you ever been in that situation? What's happening there is that God is motivating you to do something you know that you're created to do, but you are relying on this flesh. And God says we're not supposed to reckon ourselves according to the flesh. In my flesh, I'm a hunk of clay, right? You know, if you've all heard these stories of how if they dissolve us down, we're about $20 worth of chemicals and elements and dust. And God took us from the dust of the earth, okay? But He breathed into us the breath of life, and we became recreated in His image. And so Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Williams translation says, you must go all over and preach the good news. So Jesus says, go, after He says, come. And He also says in Matthew chapter 28, all authority has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. So let's look up Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. He said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." The thing I want to zero in on in that verse is daily. This is a daily thing. It's not a special evangelistic event. It's not on Sunday. It's not at the game feed that these things are exclusively supposed to take place. But it's a daily thing. Daily is where you're going to make contact with people in the world. If you don't have any non-Christian friends or non-Christian relationships, I would tell you, go out and meet some non-Christians. Form some relationships. We're not supposed to hang out with the birds of a feather exclusively, are we? You know, we're birds of a feather today. I'm a lump of clay. God breathed life into me. God breathed life into you. We're salt, right? But salt isn't just supposed to hang out with salt, right? When you add salt to something, do you take a bowl of salt out and add more salt to the bowl of salt? What is salt for? You find something that needs salt, you find a hunk of meat that just does not have any flavor, and you put salt on it. So we need to be looking for places to put our salt, right? We need to be looking for places to put our light. Jesus said, "You are lights in this world. You are the salt of the earth." So where is a light useful? You don't go out in the midday sun with your flashlight and turn it on and say, "Hey, this is great." You go into the dark place, right? "Hey, I need a light. Let's bring some light in here." God wants us to be bringing light and salt into the world, the unsaved world. Is this for me? Wow. You think of everything. So he said, go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. So really what that means is you don't go scouting out looking for the guy that's dressed the way you would dress. The guy that looks like he'd be the perfect church member. The guy that's got the right haircut. I bet you he'd be good at church. I wonder if he has a nice family. If he has a nice family, maybe that's the guy I should witness to about Jesus. You look for people that need salt, right? He says, all creatures. There's a lot of creatures out there. And they're not all like you. In Acts 1:8, Jesus said, "You shall be my witnesses." That word witnesses, and some of you have studied this is the same word where we get martyr from. A witness is someone that brings forth testimony regardless of what happens to them. Because the witness is so important, the message is so important that it needs to get out. We need to be, what Jesus said, my witnesses. And so I was talking to somebody this morning, and Jesus sent his disciples out. He said, "You're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and into the uttermost parts of the earth." That means we're going to get out of our little collection of people that are just like us. You know, the Lord told me one time, he said, "Quit praying for opportunities to witness." You think that's kind of strange? Quit praying for opportunities to witness. Quit telling people that they need to pray for opportunities to witness, because God said, "I'm giving you opportunities all the time. They're coming at you left and right every day. You're just not taking advantage of them." If you're a deer hunter or you're a... This is going somewhere, so just hang with me. Or if you're a person that likes old cars, you're always on the lookout for deer. You're driving down the road, and if I'm riding with somebody that's a deer hunter, "Look, there's a deer. Look, there's a deer. Look, there's a deer." And I'm not looking for deer. But if you're looking for deer, you're going to find deer. If you're an old car person, you'll see something sitting a half a mile off to the side in the weeds and say, "Look, it's a 37 Ford. And that person riding with you will say, "What? What do you mean?" "Well, that pile of rusty junk, that's been there for 30 years. We need to look for the opportunities that God is sending our way. Lift up your field, lift up your eyes, look unto the fields, for they're white unto harvest. Let's look at John chapter 4. Jesus had been traveling. He was moving through the area of Samaria, came upon a little town, and Jesus said to his disciples, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." That's a powerful statement by itself. You could preach a sermon. The thing that keeps me going, the thing that really gets me cranked up, is to do his will. That's what Jesus is saying. If you're a Christian, the real you on the inside wants to serve God. The real you on the inside wants to proclaim Jesus to people that are unsaved. Now, your flesh may not always want to cooperate with you. Your mind may not always want to cooperate with you. But who are you? Are you flesh? And are you a collection of thoughts that you've learned for 50 plus years? Or are you a spirit being that's recreated in the image of Christ? Who are you? And the way you see yourself is going to dramatically affect whether or not you'll step out, how you'll step out, because we need to depend on Christ in us, the hope of glory, don't we? Are we born again? Are we recreated in the image of Christ? Are we a new creation? Okay, God showed me something else that I think is powerful. And maybe you've all thought of this, and maybe you haven't. It's not new to God, but it was new to me when I learned it. When Jesus came out of the waters of baptism, he went down to the Jordan River and said, "John, I want you to baptize me," John the Baptist. He came out of the waters, and how many of you know what happened immediately after that? God did what? God spoke, right? And what did God say? He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Now think about this. If we're in Christ, if we are created in Christ, if we are the righteousness of Christ, if we're in union with Christ, guess what God is saying about us? What's he saying about you? "This is my beloved son. This is my beloved child or daughter in whom I am well pleased." If you could see yourself as in Christ constantly, you'd have no fear about proclaiming Jesus. You'd have none of the nervous jitters like, "Oh God, I hope I don't lose my best friend here." Because you're going to be operating out of your spirit, man. I mean, for years and years, I've been a Christian since probably I was 3. I used to stand in my crib and let Jesus into my heart every day, okay? So I don't even know what it's like not to be a believer. But here's the deal. I knew as I got older that I was supposed to tell people about Jesus. And I would always have this tremendous nervousness, tremendous fear, stress. I'd be riding to work with this friend of mine that I would ride with, and oh God, today's the day, I just know it. And I would share Jesus with him, and yeah, I was obedient, but I was working out of my flesh and out of my mind. If I had been focusing on who I really am, I would have just acted naturally. There's some kind of song that somebody saying where it just says, "Act naturally." You guys have probably heard it. It's a country western song. When we're acting naturally out of our spirit, man, we're going to proclaim Christ. Right? And for some reason, it seems like it takes years to learn these things. But in recent years, I'm not an evangelist. I'm not Billy Graham. I'm not saying, "Give me a medal. Here's what I did." But I share my faith. I've had to work a job to supplement our income, which I'm still working. But I don't have a problem sharing my faith at work because it's natural. It's no longer, oh God, I'm afraid. Oh God, is this the right day? This might be the opportunity. Guess what? Opportunities are abounding. And we need to look for them. We need to go wherever we're going that day, work, school, wherever, the pool table at the senior citizen hall, and go in there with this thought. I'm a new creation. I'm in Christ. As Jesus is, so am I. I've got His power. I've got His wisdom. Yes, I live in a flesh body, and I've got a bunch of thoughts that have accumulated here for X number of years, but I am Christ on the inside, Christ in me, the hope of glory. This is who I am. And so I encounter people all the time that are unsaved. Do you folks ever find any unsaved ones around here? Or is this the Bible Belt down here? It's not. I just look for opportunities, and it seems like they're always popping up. It's a natural thing. Look for opportunities, and I'll give you a few little examples. You know what a great opportunity for talking about Jesus is? When somebody dies. Somebody had a motorcycle accident on Highway 12 near where I work, and people were talking about it. And I said, I wonder if he was ready. Well, ready for what? What do you mean? These are our doors of opportunity that we can just walk right through. They're wide open. When somebody dies, that's a door right there. How do you get ready? Well, I live a good life and I go to the church down the road. Well, are you born again? Well, what's born again? I thought that was just a bunch of kooks that went to a certain kind of a church. No, Jesus said that. So just be yourself. And when you think of who yourself is, think of yourself as someone that's in Christ. Wait a minute. Christ doesn't fear. Wait a minute. Christ doesn't have all these limitations. Yeah, I've got some limitations, but that's my flesh. There is no limitation in Jesus Christ. Do you think so? And so it's really helped to set me free. And one of the things I realize is that people talk about just all sorts of things. They talk about things that shouldn't be talked about. They talk about movies. They talk about songs. They talk about sports. And that's who they are. And I was riding with a guy for about 2 hours in a car one day to go someplace for work. And this guy was most definitely not saved. Okay? So for 2 hours, I thought, God, I just know. This is the time to talk about this, and I'll just wait. I'm going to be looking for your opportunity to pop up. And sure enough, it happened. And so I said, Daryl, you talk about all sorts of things. You talk about movies. You talk about this. You talk about that. That's who you are. I want to tell you who I am. He says, okay. I mean, I figure if they can talk about all this stuff, I can talk about my stuff, and my stuff is Jesus. This is who I am. Why should I be embarrassed? They're not embarrassed to talk about the latest stupid movie they saw. They're not embarrassed to talk about other things that polite company shouldn't even talk about. Why should I be embarrassed to talk about this? Why should I feel stressed to talk about Jesus Christ, who is everything that is good? It just gave me a whole new perspective. So I just said, you know, this is who you are and this is what you talk about. Let me talk about who I am. And so I felt a freedom in that. Other people can be who they are. This is who I am. Why should Christians be the only ones that say, I need to stand off in the corner because Jesus could offend somebody? Well, does an R-rated movie offend somebody? Yeah. The certain things that people talk about at work offend somebody? Of course. So let's just be who we are. But we need to find out Actually, you've already found this out, but we need to focus on the fact that I'm born again. My spirit man is like Jesus Christ. No limitations. My food is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Verse 35. Do you not say, there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. You could preach a whole sermon on that. You say, hey, there's plenty of time. Well, that guy's just a young guy. Well, these kids at school, I've hung out with these kids forever. There's plenty of time. You say, there's plenty of time. Aren't there many months before the harvest comes? And so in my Bible, I circled that phrase, do you not say? Okay, that's what we say. There's plenty of time and then comes the harvest. But behold, I say, that's what Jesus says, I say to you, and what's He saying? Shout it out. We're not going to let you sit there and be quiet. What does Jesus say? Lift up your eyes and look at the fields. They're white. They're ripe unto harvest. If you see a person that doesn't look like you and doesn't talk like you and doesn't go to church like you, guess what? That person's white unto harvest. They're ripe. I used to think, and I'm ashamed to admit this, but I would look at certain kind of people, viewing them from the outward, knowing that I'm 99.9% sure that person's lost, and I would say, why are you stinking up our world? That's an unchrist-like thought, isn't it? We went to a car show at the fairgrounds, and there was a character there. And Linda, we walked by this character, and Linda said, did you see that man back? I'm not sure what you said. Did you see that man wearing the skirt back there? And I thought to myself, I put my mind back about 20 seconds, and I thought, well, I saw a really bad-looking woman back there. And I thought, I shouldn't stare. So I just tried to get my mind refocused on better things, like you know, the next car we're going to look at. And Linda said, no, there was a guy back there wearing a miniskirt. And there was a time, and maybe you were like this or you are like this, where I would have just said, why do perverts like that have to junk up our world? That's pathetic, isn't it? I mean, that's our natural thinking. We all have certain types of behavior or appearances that just we recoil from in the natural. But I knew that I had changed because the first thing I thought about when we started talking about it was, Lord, how would I connect with a person like that? Because God had given me an increased ability, and we're all in growth stages, if we want to grow, okay? You can decide not to grow. But the Lord showed me that I needed to be looking past the outside. And so I could genuinely value that person. So I had grown from a place of saying, you're garbage. You're junk. That's a pretty bad thought for a guy that's been walking with the Lord for 30 plus years, right? That's not right. But that's how I felt. You cause these problems and you cause that problems and you pervert the minds of our youth and blah, blah, blah. But guess what? Without Christ, we all fall short of the glory of God. Without Christ, we're all kind of garbage. I mean, we're created in the image of God, but we've got a sin nature. And that sin nature can never fellowship with God or go to heaven. That's the way it is. God's standard is perfection. Guess what? Newsflash, I don't meet the standard. Billy Graham doesn't meet the standard. The Pope, the best person in your town, does not meet the standard. That guy wearing that skirt did not meet the standard. And so the Lord has been changing me. And I've been able to, with an increased ability, see past the crust that's on the outside. You know, that kid at school that's... I don't even know what they do in school to be one of the outsiders anymore. Like the mean kid, the bully, the kid that wears all the black clothes. I don't know. But the person that fits whatever your description of a lost person, a troubled maker, that's the person that's white, ripe unto harvest. And so the reason I'm saying all this is because those are the people that God wants us to be making connections with. We can't connect with everybody. We can't make friends with everybody. But there are certain people that He wants to us to connect with. I take my breaks at work because I want to connect with people. I could keep working and get more done, but I go to that 15-minute thing and I try to develop relationships with the people that I'm with every day. So when He says, go into all the world, what's your world? Well, your world isn't Africa, probably, unless you're a missionary visiting here. What's your world? When you drive bus, that's part of your world. But those are the people you're going to be salt and light to. When you go to school, that's your world. So He says, you say, there's plenty of time left. I say the fields are white. Lift up your eyes. That's an interesting statement because it literally means to look away from yourself and put your gaze out there and study what's out there. Just like you're looking for that if you're a deer hunter. There's a deer out there. Ah, there he is. There's five of them. There's six of them. They're in the corn. Or if you're an old car person, instantly you zero in. Lift up your eyes and look. Gaze out away from yourself. We have this tendency to get really focused on what's going on in my life. What's my problem that I need to deal with right now? What are my issues? How do I feel? What are my family's needs? Well, those things have a place of importance, but if we are too self-focused, we're never going to be able to lift up our eyes and see what's out there, are we? And Jesus says this is where we need to be looking. The fields are white unto harvest. John 4, verse 1, and we're going to actually go back. John 4, verse 1. Now let's skip up to verse 4. He's talking about Jesus and says He needed to go through Samaria. So He came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from His journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For His disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to Him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked Him and He would have given you living water." The woman said to Him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water I shall give him will never thirst, but will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Sir, give me this water. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. And it goes on. But it says he needed to go through Samaria. Isn't it interesting that on his way to somewhere else, he had a very significant encounter because he ended up talking to that woman about who he was, how he was the Messiah. And she went and called the other people in the village and said, you got to come and meet this guy. He told me everything I ever did. He knows everything about me. And so it says he needed to go through Samaria. You need to do certain things and go certain places in your life that maybe you see are not the main goal. Like, I need to go down to the repair shop and talk to them about my car that just blew up. So every time you need to go somewhere, every time you need to meet a new person or encounter another group of people, guess what? God can use that as an opportunity. Wherever you are, that's your ministry for that moment, wouldn't you say? I need to go to school and meet with these people about my transcripts. I need to go here. I need to do this. Those are the times when God is going to open your eyes and possibly that person will say one thing. I had back surgery recently. Not me. I'm giving an example. We got two big trees broken in our yard. They're broken about 10 feet up and they're kind of leaning into other trees. We got to call a company to have them come. I can't take down a tree that's way up there. I mean, it's a tree this big. So we needed to call a company, a landscape company, a tree company, so that they can come and take the trees down. Well, the guy that's the founder of that company was talking about how he had back surgery. Well, guess what? There's an open door. There's an opportunity. When you're Christian, guess what you can do? You can pray for the sick. You can mention it over the phone. Well, let me pray for you. You know, Linda didn't ask, how's your back doing? This just came up in conversation. These are open doors. These are opportunities that come. We don't have to pray that God will bring them because He's already doing it. Right? We don't have to pray that He'll bring opportunities because He's doing it constantly. We just need to be looking for the opportunities. And so, because Jesus got into a conversation with a Samaritan woman. And how many of you know why the Jews had nothing to do with the Samaritans? Have you ever thought about that? Why were they enemies? Have you ever studied that? Raise your hand up. I want to see. Some people have. But the Assyrians invaded 700 plus years before these events that we're just reading about took place. And they went into the area which became Samaria. This is a paraphrase. This is not a scholarly account. But foreign invaders, the Assyrians, came from far away, came into that land, conquered it, plundered it, took people out, repopulated it with their own people, and it became a mixed race of people with a kind of a blend of, well, we know there's a God, and some of them believed in the God of the Old Testament, which this woman did. So she knew about God, but she didn't know everything she needed to know about God. There's a lot of people that know about God. Oh yeah, God is upstairs, and if you're bad, God will strike you with a lightning bolt, so we need to be good, that way we can go to heaven. She had an incomplete knowledge of God. And so we're going to find ourselves in opportunities like this. So this woman came to the well thinking, I need water. There's people that are going to come into your life thinking, I need back surgery, or I need this, or I need that. But Jesus had the ability to look into what her deeper need was. When you're a Christian, when you're a follower of Jesus Christ, and somebody comes and says, well, I got to go up to my father's house up in Little Falls this weekend. He's been diagnosed with cancer. We need to move him into a hospice care facility, etc., etc. You're going to hear things like this all the time. Guess what? A door of opportunity just opened up. Can I maybe drive up and visit with your father? Because I'm thinking this guy needs to get born again. He's got advanced cancer. He's been given 2 months to live. I'd like to pray for him and lay hands on him for healing. But more importantly, this person needs to get born again, because if they go from this life, they're catapulted into eternity. And I maybe have a chance to go up there and pray with that guy. So, okay, this seems a little bit gruesome, but opportunities to talk about the Lord. Somebody dies. Somebody's sick. Somebody has to get surgery. I mean, let's take advantage of what is there. That's their need. I mean, they might think they need back surgery. They might think they need this or that, but you know, you perceive this person needs Jesus. This person needs to get saved, and guess what? I'm fully equipped. I'm fully equipped. We are His workmanship. Let's look at that. So there's a perceived need, but then there's a real need. Let's look at Ephesians 2. In verse 10. It says, "We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." If we're going to walk in God's ways and do His good works, if we try to do it in our own strength, through our own studying, our own talents, and our own abilities, we're going to fall flat because those things can only carry you so far, right? You people have all sorts of talents. I mean, you could be 5 years old or 90 years old, but God has put you in a place. So you never retire as a Christian. You may retire as a bricklayer because you grow to the point where you can't lay bricks anymore, but you are always in a place of service to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are His workmanship. That word workmanship literally means we're His work of art. It's a Greek word, which out of that Greek word comes the modern word poem or poetry. When God created you, He crafted you. Just like we talked about Adam in the beginning, God molded and formed Adam. God has created you. And He's given you abilities, He's given you talents, He's given you strengths. And then when you get born again, you get the Spirit of God and the power of God in you. And so you have no limitations. See yourself as being like Christ. Wait a minute, I don't have to be nervous. Wait a minute. Yeah, I haven't memorized the whole Bible and I don't know where all the verses are, but I've got Christ in me. Why should I be afraid to talk about Jesus Christ? We need to think about who the real you is. Right? We are His workmanship. One version says, God has made us what we are. And if we think, I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I don't know enough, and I'm too old, or I'm too young, or I'm too fat, or I'm too ugly, guess what? You're being critical of what God created. You're not looking at the right thing. You're looking at your limitations out here. You're not looking at Christ in you, the hope of glory. How many of you believe the Bible? Are we a new creation? Well, what's a new creation? Did God make junk when He made a new creation? No, He created us to be like Christ. As Jesus is, so are we in this life. Roger, you know where that's found. I don't know where it is. I don't know the number of the book, but as Christ is, so are we in this life. Somebody out there may know it. You can shout it out if you do. It's in the Bible. Probably in the New Testament. I've really narrowed it down now, so it should be easy for you to find it. In this life. Not when we go to heaven. And when we go to heaven, that removes all the things that are hidden from us now. We get a glorified body someday. But guess what? As Christ is, so are we in this life. Here, now. This is where we need it, folks. This is where the devil is active. But greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. The devil's a defeated foe. Jesus is a victorious conqueror, and guess what? If we're in Christ, we're victorious conquerors. John Wesley made an interesting statement one time. He said, I wrote this in my Bible in the beginning of the book of Ephesians, and he said, John Wesley said, we should never think of ourselves as not being in Christ. Ephesians is a book that talks just repeatedly about in Christ. In Christ I can do this. In Christ I have this. And John Wesley said, we should never think of ourselves as not being in Christ. That's what will stop you. That's what will slow you down. That's what will get you off track. But if you view yourselves as being in Christ, it changes your whole approach to life and service to God. Let's look at Colossians 2. Six through ten. Colossians 2, 6 through 10. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, reestablished in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. We can be cheated out of realizing our full potential in Christ if we don't follow what God's Word says. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. Let's say this together. I am complete in Him.
I am complete in Him.
Now, do you know what you just said? Let me expand on that thought for you. I am complete in Him. Complete means to cram full, to be fully furnished, to be abundantly supplied, to be fully equipped, to be completely satisfied, to be totally finished. So that's what you just said. I'm fully supplied. I'm completely equipped. I got all the horsepower I need. I got all the options I need. I have no limitations. I'm crammed full of the ability, the personality, and the wisdom of Jesus Christ. Are we able to see ourselves that way? That's the question. Because this is what the Bible's telling us to do. The real you is your spirit being. And the real you is born again, created in the image of Christ, with no limitations. I got a couple more scriptures here, but Ephesians 1, 17. This is good news, church. I'm not telling you something you never heard before. I mean, I'm just focusing in on what I believe God wants us to be reminded of today. Let's see, Ephesians 1, 17. I'm going to read this from the Phillips translation. And this is my prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the all-glorious Father, will give you spiritual wisdom and the insight to know more of Him, that you may receive that inner illumination of the Spirit, which will make you realize how great is the hope to which He is calling you, the magnificence and splendor of the inheritance promised to Christians, and how tremendous is the power available to us who believe in God. That power is the same divine energy which was demonstrated in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and gave Him the place of highest honor in heaven. The same power that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead is in us. The same power that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead is in us. We need to remind ourselves about this. It's quickly forgotten. You know, Monday morning, your alarm clock rings. Oh, Lord, can I make it another day? Got to go to work again. Got to encounter the things I encounter at work. Got to encounter the people I encounter at work. Oh, God. We're not thinking, I'm in Christ at that moment, are we? But that's the time when we can arrest our thinking and say, wait a minute. I'm thinking about this in fleshly terms. How stupid is that? Raise your hand if you've been stupid sometimes. It's pretty much unanimous, I would think. We're in Christ. One more passage, 2 Corinthians 5. We're 2 Corinthians 5. I like what Paul said to the Galatians. I think it was the Galatians at one time. In one translation, he said, "You idiots. Who has bewitched you that you would come under the law again?" You know, sometimes when you're a preacher, you just like to say it the way it is. You idiots! That's Paul. I didn't say that, did I? We can be idiots sometimes because we get in the flesh. And in the flesh, that's not a position of power. That's a position of defeat. 2 Corinthians 5, 16. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. This is where we get off track. Now, it says, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Let's not regard ourselves according to the flesh. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things. All things. Well, I'm just a work in progress. Well, spiritually speaking, you're not a work in progress. Well, I'm only human. Well, spiritually speaking, you're not only human. Right? You've got all the life and power that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead. Don't say, I'm only human. You're starting to defeat yourself right away. Say, no, I'm in Christ. I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Well, you mean all things? Yeah, isn't that what it says here? Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. We've got a ministry, church. It's not just Roger. Pastor Roger's got a ministry, but you guys know that you have a ministry, right? The ministry of bringing people into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed us to the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Do we believe the Bible? The Bible says I'm a new creation. You may look at me and say, well, I'm not sure. You're kind of an old guy. You got gray hair. I'm a new creation. What God says is what I need to be believing. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. That term in Christ is the key term. How do I see myself? Do I see myself as in Christ? Or do I see myself as just, well, I'm just a work in progress. I'm only human. Well, that's not too confident of a report then. But if I'm in Christ, I can go boldly forth. I can do all things through Christ. I have the mind of Christ. I have no limitations. You know, Jesus said He was speaking to his disciples in John chapter 14. He says, I'll manifest myself to you. I'm going away, but I'm going to manifest myself in you. He said, the Father and I will come and dwell in you. That word manifest means to shine in, to cause to shine. We need to allow this flesh veil to drop off and just allow Christ to shine and say, well, okay, in my flesh I've got limitations, in my mind, in my personality, and what I know, I've got limitations. But in here, this is the real me. God is shining out through me, if I'll allow Him to. That's the only way this work's going to get done, the Great Commission. You know, I believe in positive thinking and developing our human resources, but guess what? Goliath was a positive thinker too, wasn't he? Big, strong guy, man of war from his youth, had the biggest, you know, biggest weapons, the sharpest sword, the big armor, and he just had all sorts of confidence. I'm Goliath. That's what I call positive thinking. But guess what? David had positive thinking, only he had God, which brings positive thinking up to a whole new level. And David was the little red-haired punk. I wasn't thinking of punk when I saw you, but I just saw the red hair. He was a little shepherd boy that Jesse didn't even want to bring in from the field because Jesse paraded all his big, strong, tall sons, and Samuel looked at him and said, "These aren't the ones," because God said, "No, I've refused them. Don't look on the outward countenance. I look on the heart." And Samuel said, "Well, is there any other kids left around here? Do you have any other sons left?" "Well, just the kid out in the field watching the sheep. Well, bring him here." And Samuel looked upon him, and God said, this is the one. Anoint him. You're anointed, folks. I don't care if you're 85 years old or 5 years old. If you've got Christ in you, you've got God's anointing. Anointing means God's, the saturation. The word anointing means to be saturated. God's power, God's ability. That's you. Amen. I think I need to stop. That's good enough to chew on for a while. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the fact that we are in Christ. We have no limitations. I thank you, Father, that we can fulfill the Great Commission. We can go into the world, which is our world. There's people that are never going to go into our classroom or our place of work or the people that we rub shoulders with every week except for us. We're it, and you're counting on us, and you can count on us because you have given us the Spirit of Christ and the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Heavenly Father. You've given us your word. We're new creatures. We're created in the image of Christ. Help us to see ourselves that way, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. I told